All right, folks, welcome back to the last session of Texas Talk Global. How are we here already? Thank you to all of you who are joining. Thanks to all of you who have been here the last few days. The next speaker I'm so excited to introduce is someone that we heard about first through a client of ours, Mike Michalowicz, and we got the opportunity to learn a little bit about the work that Jesse Cole is doing at the Savannah Bananas. And when I decided that the theme for this year was attendee experience, he was the very first person that I thought of, first speaker that we had to put in the books before we decided all the other speakers. The work that the Savannah Bananas have been, well, really that Jesse and his entire team have been doing with the Savannah Bananas is mind-blowing. And if you are not familiar, we're going to play a little video to give you a little bit of context. And I know that you're going to learn so much about this. We are talking about this topic of fans first. How do you focus so intently on what your audience, your attendees, whatever word you want to use there, wants and needs so that you can get them not only coming, but coming back, talking about it, going viral. These are all things that we are going to talk about in this session. We just talked with Dolly about co-creation. This is taking it to a whole nother level. So I'm excited to introduce Jesse in just a moment. We will play that video in a second. Please use the chat wherever you're watching to share your comments. We will have some time for Q&A at the end. So put your questions in there and we'll get to them if we can. But first, let's play this quick video so you can get a better sense of what Jesse has been up to with the Savannah Bananas, and then we'll dive right in.
This is the greatest show in sports.
Every single game, it's been a sellout.
It's better than any sporting event I've ever been to.
Major League Baseball is not quite anything like this.
One team down south is taking the sport by storm.
The Savannah Bananas.
Savannah Bananas.
Savannah Bananas.
The Savannah Bananas.
Savannah Bananas.
The Savannah Bananas.
Savannah Bananas are a baseball team with one goal, to make baseball fun.
Fans first.
The number one place to come to and watch baseball.
It's the most fun you can ever have on any sporting event in the world.
Senior citizen dance team called the Banana Nanas, a male cheerleading team called the Mananas, a break dancing coach, a banana baby, and dancing players.
TikTok going viral.
We have 2 million more followers than every Major League Baseball team.
Now their game is interesting.
It's called Banana Ball.
We have 9 rules.
With a 2-hour time limit, a moratorium on bunting and walks, and if a fan catches a foul ball, it's an out.
It's part sport, part circus.
Whatever's normal, do the exact opposite.
There's a guy pitching on stilts.
Everyone in the stands is involved in everything.
We're not in the baseball business. We're in the entertainment business.
I saw the pitcher twerking.
We'll be traveling all over the country from coast to coast.
We break down the wall between player and fans.
Bringing the fun back into the game of baseball.
Nationally and internationally recognized.
What's more fun than the Bananas of baseball?
Fans want this faster type, exciting way of baseball.
That's what ball game is all about. It's about having to be entertained.
Genius concept.
You've never seen the national pastime played quite like this.
Bananas, so great.
There's a lot to this.
Wait until you see them play.
And it's proving to be the greatest show in sports.
Bananas fans, thank you so much for your support. We love you guys, and Banana Nation, we'll see you soon.
Hey, yes. Well, excited to be with you guys. If you only knew how many of those stunts actually went really wrong in many ways and failed, but we got a few that actually worked out, and I'll get into that and share some of the story. But more than anything, yes, I love the fired up Facebook user, Phil. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm going to keep going and get excited over you guys, but very fired up to be with you because you're my people. That's what I do. We put on events, and you guys put on events, and we have to be obsessed over the details. We have to think about things differently. And, you know, that's what we're going to talk about today. And I think my goal is to get this group to think even more about creating fans and think about the experience and focus to the attention to the little details that make a huge difference. And we've learned how to do that. And we're still learning every day through a ton of experimentation and really putting ourselves in our fans' shoes. So my goal today is kind of share little of the behind the scenes of how we've learned how to create, you know, these events that we've been so fortunate to sell out, and how maybe you can utilize it, whether you are in virtual or you're putting on events in person. And for the context, obviously, that show is the greatest show and that shows what we've been able to build. But just for the people that don't know how we started, that's not really at all a picture of how it started. You know, it was 7 years ago that my wife and I, while our friends were buying iPads and, you know, puppies, we decided to buy a baseball team and went into over $1 million in debt and bought an expansion baseball team and came down to Savannah, Georgia with this big dream and this big vision to launch, you know, the greatest show in sports. And we showed up, the phone lines were cut, the internet lines were cut. It was myself, my wife, Emily, our 24-year-old president, and three 22-year-olds right out of college. That was our team. And we came out and we started trying to sell and trying to promote. I wasn't wearing the yellow tuxedo because I was scared. I was the new kid in town. I was like, I just want to be like professional. And that failed miserably. We sold 2 tickets in our first 3 months because we were doing things like everyone else. And it got to a point in January of 2016, almost in 7 years, that we got the phone call that we overdrafted our account and we were out of money and we didn't know what to do. So Emily turned to me and we had to sell our house. We had to empty out our savings account and we found an absolute dump and we were sleeping on an airbed. And Emily actually bought a twin airbed. She couldn't even, you know, indulge and buy a queen airbed. So it was a brutal setup that we had 7 years ago. And we knew we just had to do something different. And I believe if you want to get the eyes, if you want to get the hearts of your customers or your fans, you have to first get the eyes and the ears. And so we went all in on creating attention. So we named the team after a fruit. We became the first team named after a fruit, became the Savannah Bananas. And yes, we had a bigger vision, the idea of having a senior citizen dance team, the Banana Nanas, and the male cheerleading team, the Mananas, and naming our mascot Split, and having promotions where we throw bananas in people's pants and it's called Banana in the Pants, and music videos to Can't Stop the Peeling. We had all these ideas. And so when we first got them named as the Savannah Bananas, you know, I'll never forget, we were ripped apart. We were criticized. We were told we'll never sell a ticket. We were told, you know, we're an embarrassment to the city. We're going to fail. And over again, we kept hearing that. But people knew who we were. And so we just said, all right, that first stop is getting attention. And with any event, you know, if you don't have attention, good luck. You know, with our team, we don't have a marketing plan. We have an attention plan. So we knew the first step was getting attention. And once we got attention, we said, all right, we're going to go all in on the experience. So we convinced enough people to come out opening night, a sold out crowd to see us, what they were probably expecting us to fail. And in many ways, we did. We were wearing green uniforms because we weren't quite ripe. And we made 6 errors. We played terrible, but they watched the Banana Nanas dance. They watched us lift the banana baby up in the air. They watched as our players went into the crowd and delivered roses to little girls. And they watched the whole experience. And at the end, they ended up telling everyone. And since that point, we started saying, we're going to put the gas on the experience, not on the marketing, on the experience, and just capture that and show that and try to create fans. And since that point, back in 2016, we've been so fortunate to sell out every single game. We've now have a wait list that's just about to hit 200,000 as we're expanding our Banana Ball World Tour all over the country. And my wife and I now have a real bed. So it has come full circle. And just we're proud of that, where it's gone. But really where it goes and how it fits you guys, this audience here, is, you know, what are the lessons that we've learned and what are the focus points? And for us, it was everything fans first. And I know Liz mentioned it earlier. We weren't focused on creating customers or chasing customers. We were focused on creating fans. And everything we did, every decision we made, we said, would this create a fan? Not would this create sales, revenue, profit? Would this create a fan? And we believed in that long game. And if you have so many fans, everything else takes care of itself. So we went all in this fans first mentality. And now, you know, we have over 50 fans who get tattoos of our logo on their body, which makes no sense. When people get pregnant, a wife and a husband get pregnant, they call us and ask to put their baby on the Banana Baby wait list, which is just ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. We had a family come up to me after a game and I said, we had so much fun. They go, oh, did you come into town for this? And they said, yeah, we drove 40 hours from Utah for this game. We're driving 40 hours back tomorrow. In my mind, I'm like, what is wrong with you? I wouldn't drive 40 minutes to go anyways. but that is the power of creating fans. So today I'm going to say how you can do that with events, because now we're putting on events all over the country. And for instance, Sugarland, Texas, we announced Sugarland, Texas. We have 40,000 people that have requested tickets for Sugarland, Texas. Des Moines, Iowa, never would expect Des Moines, Iowa. 25,000 people have requested tickets for Des Moines, Iowa. And it's all based on this concept of creating fans. And I think the biggest challenge is how to learn how to get through the messy to get to the great. Because I'm going to share with you, it's been unbelievably messy. Right now, I'm actually in the bowels of our stadium. You know, we had like a tropical depression, tropical whatever. There was rain coming through here. If it starts leaking on me, like that's where I am. We're in a 1926 ballpark. But we don't focus on all of those parts that we can't control. We focus on the fans. And that's where we get through the messy to get to the great. So if we are taking notes at home, there's three words I challenge you to write down. And if you put that on top of every event that you're going to do, these three words, I think it will actually dramatically impact the event that you're going to have. And we started doing it from day one. And those three words were, you wouldn't believe. You wouldn't believe. We said, how can we get every fan to come to our ballpark, say, you wouldn't believe what happened at the game today. You wouldn't believe what the players did with my daughter. You wouldn't believe what the players did with my grandmother. You wouldn't believe what they were doing on the field with the breakdancing coach. You wouldn't believe when I left, I got to do this with the players. You wouldn't believe. And right now, we know the future of business, in my opinion, is not on how many customers you have. It's how many fans you have. And the future of business for us is all on creating experiences and getting our fans to do the marketing for us. Today, everyone's like, it's very nice and honored when people say, oh, you guys are great marketers. You're really good marketers. We spend $0 on marketing, literally zero, but we invest everything in the experience. And then we capture that experience and then show that experience. And then the fans capture the experience and share it as well. And that creates this demand. So I hope today we can look at, I know some of you have got some very successful people that do unbelievable events, or with Phil, you know, I've got closer with them, unforgettable events. The key is to really think about how can you create so much demand, how much so much excitement by creating these you wouldn't believe moments. And then all of a sudden you're going to have events sold out and a waiting list, that it makes everything else easy, because you don't need to focus on getting people there. You can just focus on making it the best experience in the world. And we try to be the greatest show in sports. Question challenge for you is, how can you try to be the greatest event of all events? What does that look like? The greatest event of in the world. If you start looking like that, you look at those attention to details. So today, and again, I am fired up. I'll make sure we have time for Q&A at the end, because I really want to dive in with you guys, because I love the way event people think. It's very different. I've been speaking to a few different groups, and event people, you guys understand the attention of the experience in detail. So hopefully we can get to Q&A. But today I'm going to kind of go through the five E's to creating these raving fans and how it actually pertains to the event business, and how we can utilize some of the things that we've learned with the events that we put on and how they fit to your event. So again, right now I'm speaking at a screen where it's literally, I'm speaking to myself, it looks like. So if you guys are ready for the five E's to create raving fans, can you throw some comments in? Let's start firing this up. I need to see some energy and enthusiasm, so I'm not just speaking to myself. We're having some fun. All right. So Liz, if we got to throw any woohoos, excitement, and then I'm ready to go. If you guys are with me. And yes, I'm believing you guys are with me right now. I'm going to see some comments rocking and rolling. So, all right, Phil, you're ready. Atta baby. All right. I love it, guys. Thank you. Now I feel excited. Now I'm ready to go. Beautiful. All right. The first E, let's do this. Let's rock and roll, Heather. The first E to creating these raving fans and really changing the game on the event business is to eliminate friction. And this sounds so obvious, and I hate always going into the negative, but it is, how do we put ourselves in our attendees' shoes, or for us, our fan shoes, and how do we eliminate every piece of friction there is in the experience? And often I talk about having a mirror moment. And so often we look at what other events are doing. We don't pay attention to anybody in the sports business or the baseball business. We're learning from the P.T. Barnums, the Walt Disneys, the Cirque du Soleil, the WWE, the SNL. We're learning from people outside and to create a better experience. So it starts with, what are the friction points in the event business? And how do you put yourself in their shoes? So a question I'd always ask is like, what do people hate about events? We asked, what do people hate about baseball? And it started with the vision for this was, I was sitting in a dugout coaching back when I was 23 years old, and I was at the best seat in the house with the best players in the country. And I was watching this game and I was bored out of my mind. I had played baseball my whole life, but I realized, man, this is boring. It's a long, slow game. And I said, that's friction. If I can't watch a game and enjoy it, good luck to regular fans. I understand the game. I play the game. I'm in the dugout. I'm a coach. How do I not enjoy it? And so that was a big starting point for me. And so if you put yourself at an event and say, all right, huh, what's that new added experience? What's that thing that frustrates me, that friction point that I hate that I want to change? And I learned this from Walt Disney. He had the same thing. He sat at Griffith Park with his two daughters as they were riding around the merry-go-round, the carousel. And he said, I wish there was a place adults and kids could have fun. Because while he liked watching his daughters have fun, he was bored. He wanted a place that they both could have fun. And he said, that's the starting point. So friction, when you look at the macro industry, so whether you're doing virtual events or you're doing in-person events, what are those things that people hate? Almost create a list. For us, when I realized baseball was just too long, too slow, too boring, I said, we are going to do the exact opposite of that. We're going to be nonstop fast, nonstop excitement, entertainment. We're going to go the other route. And so that's where we started with this friction, long, slow, and boring. We are not going to be a boring baseball team. And so back with our first team 15 years ago, we tried everything. We had grandma beauty pageants. We had some things that didn't work at all, like Flatulence Fun Night, which was a disaster where we literally gave away whoopee cushions at the gate or had a bean burrito eating contest and a farting contest. Fans did not like that night and not many people showed up. You know, we had Salute to Underwear Night where we actually gave away underwear in the crowd. And if anybody wore underwear over their pants, it was literally, they got a free giveaway. It was the most unfamily friendly night we've ever done. So we did all these things. But what happened is people started thinking of us, we're not a baseball team. We're in the entertainment business. And how do you, we realized that that's what we are. And the question is, what business are you in, but what business are you really in? I challenge everyone in this on this call here that you're probably not in the event business. And what are you really trying to give to people? What are you really trying to add to their experience? And then you can start really find out what business you're in and then work on that. Go all in on that. Because when we realized that, you know, we weren't in the baseball business, it made it really clear in our direction because we wanted to eliminate that friction. And then the next point we realized is we kept going down this. We said, when you go to a baseball game or sporting event, you get nickel and dimed. Everybody, you pay ticket fees. Then you pay convenient fees, which are the most inconvenient fees in the world. And then you pay taxes. All right. And you keep paying all these fees. Then you come to the game, you pay for your parking, you pay for your program. Then you pay for $6 for a drink, $8 for a burger. And all of a sudden at the end of the night, you're broke. I go, that is a complete friction point. So I said, what would be the exact opposite? How could we do something different? And I said, let's make all-inclusive tickets in Savannah. Let's make no ticket fees, no convenient fees, and let's even pay our taxes for our fans, which no one even knows or they even talk about because it's just, you just always assume you pay taxes. Our fans have never paid $1 of taxes because we pay every tax on every ticket, merchandise item, and food item. We just pay it for them because if a shirt is $25, I want it to be $25. I don't want it to be $31.50. That is a friction point that people don't even realize, but it's transparency. So if you're looking at nickel and diming on your events, if it's like, hey, you pay for this. And then if you want to do this, you want to do this, you want to do this. If you go to Chipotle, it's like, oh, I can't burrito. It's $2.50 for guac. Come on. I just want guac. It's another $3 for chips. Come on. I just want chips. Those are all nickel and diming, which again, does not create fans. And so we learned that as a big part of our business. And then we kept going down and we said, all right, what if we eliminate ads? All right. Now this is a big conversation for event planners because it's a big part of how you raise money and how you actually put on an event. And people thought we were crazy on February 25th, 2020, when we announced that we were eliminating all ads from our stadium. Now, this was 2 weeks before the pandemic. So probably the worst business decision you could ever do 2 weeks before a pandemic in a live entertainment business is to throw away hundreds of thousands of dollars. Well, that's what we did. However, we weren't playing the short game. We were playing the long game. We weren't focused on short-term profits. We were focused on long-term fans. And my belief, putting myself in my customer, in the customer's shoes, the fan's shoes, coming to a game, I don't want to be sold to, marketed to, or advertised to. I don't want that. And so how do you do something different? Yes, to add free events. So how do you create an event where it's not, all right, let's thank our sponsors for the first 5-6 minutes. All right, let's give our sponsor 5 minutes to talk. You know, unless there's some really cohesiveness where they can really work well together, which there are opportunities, then why are we doing something that we know potentially our attendees or our fans don't like? And my belief is if you need a sponsor to create an event because people aren't willing to pay for it enough, then maybe the event isn't good enough. We have zero sponsorship revenue, zero ad revenue. Yet we've been fortunate that our business is doing pretty well because of our fans are willing to invest because they want to be part of that. That's how you create a sold out event. not necessarily based on a sponsor, unless there is the Quisitas. I know that might cause some controversy and challenges. We can jump on a Q&A later, but that's something I'm very adamant about. I don't think anyone wants to be advertised to. My four-year-old son, when I show him a video on YouTube, he goes, "Ah, Daddy, I hate ads." My four-year-old hates ads now. So how do you make them not feel like ads, make them more experiential, or how do you eliminate them completely? So these are the friction points. And, you know, we kept going. I mean, we're obsessed with eliminating frictions. I mean, we literally changed the game to create Banana Ball, a 2-hour time game, because fans don't like a 3-hour, 4-hour game. And so batters can't step out of the batter's box. Literally, you can steal first. There's no bunting because bunting sucks. I mean, literally, if you bunt, you're thrown out of our game. And if fans catch a foul ball, it's an out. Like, this is the game that we went all in. We literally left our league to go all in this because we're such on this obsession with eliminating friction. And where we believe the world is going somewhere. The attention spans are shorter. People want things faster. It's a TikTok world. We can get entertained like this. So if we're hosting an event that is a very long event, how do you make it so entertaining that people want more? And no one goes to a movie and leaves the movie in the middle and says, "Oh, that was a great movie. I'm out." Yet in baseball games, that happens all the time. On events, you have a 2 or 3 day conference. I've been the final keynote. It's a challenge keeping everyone there. All right. The opening keynote, you always get everybody there, but keeping people to the end is a challenge. So maybe reimagine how you create that event. Those are the things we look at. Always want people to want more. So that's an idea. Again, starting with the friction, it's a tough point. I like to get into the entertainment. We're going to get into that in the experimenting, the fun. But if you're doing things that your attendees hate, good luck. You can throw all this other stuff, but people are going to remember the things they hate. And so we had to defeat baseball is too long, too slow, too boring. You get nickel and dime. There's too many ads. We had to eliminate that first before we could even start attacking everything else. So that is the starting point of all innovation. And once you start seeing friction, you start seeing it everywhere. You know, for us, when you have a lens of something, like if you're an event planner and you're always seeing like every single place you go to, whether it's a wedding, whether it's, you're seeing how everything's put together because you have that lens now. For me, I see friction everywhere. Like everywhere I go, when I call someone, I'm waiting for hold. Like, you know, I mean, I don't want to give any names, but like, let's call them Shamerican Airlines, okay? Shamerican Airlines, for instance. So I'm flying on this airline, and every single time I fly, they come down trying to sell this credit card. Every single time. And they're putting down your throat 60,000, 70,000, 80,000, 1 million free miles, whatever they're saying. But they're trying to sell it over and over and over again. Nobody really likes that. But because they sell one at one, and I talked to them, they sell one, max two. Their CEO and everyone else is saying, "Oh, look, this is doing millions of dollars." But are you willing to do that as product, create an unbelievable experience that more people want to fly? That's the question. That's the hard question. We could do 7 figures plus in sponsorship, but we don't want to take anything away from our fans. So find those micro friction points, whether it's your voicemail, a simple thing like that. If it says, "Please listen closely as our menu options have changed," change your voicemail. Every voicemail in the world is saying that. So we had that because our voicemail just kind of got programmed in and whatever. It was like a normal thing. I said, "No." So we actually had an intern sing, "Savannah, na, na, na. You've reached the Savannah bananas, na, na, na. Please leave your message." Sorry for my singing. It's very bad and I apologize for that. But that's the type of, you know, we want people to actually see a friction point. You called to get someone, but you got a voicemail. It's kind of fun. I'll leave a voicemail. Or our hold music, which our hold music is now ring, 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 banana phone. And literally every 2 weeks, actually, it's now every week now, every week, someone calls us and asks, "Can you please put me on hold?" It's the weirdest thing in the world. They want friction, but because you can make friction fun, and if you're a friction fighter, then all of a sudden people want to try to find everything about your experience. And they want to go at the event, "I want to see what the bathrooms look like. Do they have anything cool in the bathrooms? Oh, I want to go see this behind the scenes. What's this?" They start wanting to see it, which gets them excited about every aspect of your event. Those are the things we think about. So one challenge I would say that we learned was to go undercover. And if you have a big team, or if you usually when you're putting on an event, you have a pretty good sized team, whether that's volunteers, et cetera. How many people have actually gone undercover and experienced the event as a regular attendee, but they are part of your team? So every night, someone on our team goes undercover. And I take off the yellow tux once a year. I park with the fans. I walk in with the fans. I sit with the fans. I eat with the fans. I keep track of the line, how long the line is. We pay attention to the metrics that matter most to our customers. How long are the lines? How quickly do I get to my seat? How quickly does the line move to get into the stadium? How quickly can I park? All those metrics from going undercover are all friction points that we're trying to attack. So maybe someone on your team, a volunteer, say, hey, I just want you to go through our event this year and keep track of every single friction point, things that you notice that might be frustrating that could potentially be better. And it's a tough conversation to have, but it's huge. And Phil, I love that you asked your staff to do that. Very powerful. Beautiful. All right. Getting out of the negative, eliminate friction. Let's go into the fun. And so the second E to creating these raving fans is entertain always. And if any group, hopefully it's you that understands this. When I speak in front of like manufacturing groups or accountants, or I spoke in front of lawyers last week, they looked at me like I was crazy. And I get that a lot with a yellow tuxedo, but with this idea, I think it's definitely pertains with what you guys are doing. And the reality is, I believe we're all in the entertainment business. The definition of entertain is to provide enjoyment. And I think we all, to a degree, need to provide enjoyment to our customers and our people and our fans, our clients, our attendees, et cetera. And P.T. Barnum said, the noblest art is that of making others happy. And so if we believe that's part of our mission, even if it's not the big mission right on the front of our website, but we want to make people happy. We want to give them some enjoyment and we want to entertain them. Then how do you map the experience to do that? And do you really believe it's worth it? And for us, it's everything. And so to be able to do that, we first found the friction points. And then we had our vision of, hey, we're going to make baseball fun. And then we said, well, let's look at our stages of the experience. Let's map the customer journey. And let's look at all those parts that are boring, that aren't fun. And how do we add a little entertainment spice? And so we developed what were the 7 stages of our experience. And I bet you every single event, even if it is a virtual event, there are stages to their experience. And when you develop those stages, then you can go deep dive into each stage and say, what makes this stage remarkable? What makes this stage attendees say you wouldn't believe during this stage of the experience? And so our 7 stages for context are the first impression. Now that first impression stage starts with your website, social media, anywhere people can find you. Is it clear what you do? Do you show how you're fun? Do you show how you're exciting, you're entertaining, how you're different? First impression, you got a wow from the get-go. The second stage for us is our parking lot. Now, again, for virtual, you might have to think of what's the waiting time coming up to an event or anything like that, another transition. But for the event attendees, your parking lot, it's crazy. You might not think of it at a conference center or wherever you're hosted, but Carl Sewell, who wrote the book Customers for Life, he has a car dealership in Texas. He literally would hire street cleaners to clean a half mile all the way up leading to his car dealership because he was so obsessed with that experience coming in. What's your parking lot? Are you wowing them out in front? You know, for us, for instance, for us, you know, we have parking penguins that literally park your car. People dressed up in penguin costumes that are parking your car. That's in Savannah. We don't have many parking penguins on the road, but and then they pass out Freezy Pops to kids and say, stay cool today. And even this past year, I watched, they were listening, they had music going and they were saying, waddle with me, waddle with me, waddle with me. And if you saw my feet, I was trying to waddle like a penguin, but that's what they do because they want the parking experience to be fun. So that's the second stage for us. The third stage is the front plaza. So the front plaza. So that's basically the front part, whether it's your lobby, whether it's the opening, however people come into an event. The fourth stage is our concourse. Every sports team in the country, you know, they just have food and bev. Their concourse is, how do I sell? How do I get people to the bathroom? We look at our concourse as an opportunity to entertain. The fifth stage is our grandstand, our seating experience. This is a huge opportunity. I'm sure many of you guys do it well and at live attendee events. Bring the show to the fans. We have a whole script of all the things we do in our grandstand because we believe that we don't want just the field to be the main stage. And so how do you bring the event to them as well? Sixth stage obviously is our field. And then the seventh stage is our last impression, which leaves a lasting impression. So I'll quickly go through some of these and we can dive into some questions later on if how it pertains to you guys. But wow from the get-go. So when people buy a ticket, we want to get them excited. If people are buying a ticket to go to a virtual event or a live attendee event, is it just a regular confirmation? Or is it something that's a little bit more unique that sets the tone, that gets them fired up? This is not your typical event. As soon as someone's buying from you, you should celebrate them. Celebrate them in a fun way or do it unique. And I'm going to show you a video that's very embarrassing because it was the first one we ever did. This was 5 or 6 years ago. And I said, if we're going to, people are going to buy, we got to make it a little different. Now we do a new one each year and we celebrate, we make it more over the top. But I'll show you this first video to give you context of when someone buys, maybe there's a video that you could have go directly to your attendee.
Congrats, you just made the best decision of your day. As soon as your order came in, a high priority siren alerted all Bananas personnel to attend to your order immediately. Our dedicated team of Bananiacs immediately put on banana suits and rushed to the ticket laboratory to produce your tickets. Your tickets were then hand-picked by a Banana Nana and placed on a silk pillow. To celebrate the birth of a new fan, your tickets were then lifted in the air as we collectively sang Circle of Life from The Lion King. Your tickets are now on their way to our vault, where they'll be watched under maximum security. Now, we are ready for you to go bananas.
All right, I don't even know what that like weird Star Wars music we were using back then, but that gives the context. So we had people about 60, 70% open rate that in probably about 15% actually wrote back to us and said, thanks, man, that was fun. And again, it sets the tone. And then after that, we send an email of what to expect when expecting. And so here, you're going to your event. Here's all the details, but it's in a fun way. And then our ticket experience coordinator came up with an idea to actually send a playlist of music to listen to on the way to our game. So think about this. You have your event, even if it's a virtual event, playlist of songs that are fun, that get people excited. So for, and I appreciate the comments on the amazing video. You guys are making me feel much better of the video 5 years ago. But the reality is now we think about all that to set the tone coming. So they have music when they're coming to our event and it's Can't Stop the Peeling, Hey Baby, which is a mainstay that we play. Holler Back Girl, where they say, this is Bananas, B-A-N. You know the drill. That's all the songs that they listen to. So that sets the tone. As you're coming to this event, you're feeling a little different. You're amped up. You know this is not going to be your typical baseball game. You guys have an opportunity to do that as well. So now, next, we said, all right, when people are walking up to the gate, you know, how is it not so boring? And so this, we didn't start this till 2 years ago. We said, we got to greet our fans. So instead of just letting everyone into an event, why don't you make a big opening, something special, something to get create that energy and that excitement instead of just people filtering in, they're here and they're here. No, it opens at this time sharp and then boom, you do an opening. So I'm going to show one from a Tuesday night game in July. This is our opening march. And so when fans are waiting, this is how we open the gates to set the tone.
We'll be right back.
So that sets a little of the context there. Now, again, that was, I think, appreciate the comment someone made that that isn't captured. That was, yes, a 90 plus degree night in July. So there was a challenge of obviously what was happening. And but you still see, even when it's 100 degrees, 90 degrees, it's the middle of July on a Tuesday to bring the energy. And that's what we try to do and open the gates like that. It sets the tone. So what are those opportunities? And I'll give a shout out to Phil here. He inspired me with the Social Media Examiner event I went to 4 or 5 years ago. We actually brought on an official high fiver because he had a high five person at the event. We brought in a 6-year-old. He wasn't in this video. He wasn't at this game, but a 6-year-old that literally has high on the back of his jersey and his number is 5. And his job is to high five about 1,500 to 2,000 fans a night, but he needs lots of snack breaks. And we actually pay him, which is breaking every child labor law in the world. But that's okay. It's all about the experience. So as we have then the high fiver, people run into the gates. We make sure from there that we have our different characters, people throughout the concourse. We have singing, we have dancing. We have even our signs are fun. So we put different things on the signs to create that experience. So it's all about as you build, you set the tone in the beginning, that first impression. Is it about to be different than every other event? And by setting that, that was really a game changer for us. And throughout the rest of the game, we focus on, obviously, our script has about 200 different things in it. And I said we script out the concourse, the grandstand. We have certain player appearances. We have our band play. Our band actually goes into the bathroom, which is very weird. Our tuba player goes into the stall, and he'll just start playing in the stall because we even want an experience in the bathroom. And, you know, before our biggest rival was Macon Bacon when we were in the Coastal Plain League. And so we actually got Macon Bacon urinal cakes with their logo on it. So our fans were actually peeing on our rival. So we even try to make the experience in the bathroom a little bit fun. Now we have circus carnival mirrors and we have things that say self-checkout mirror. And we're working on a golden throne, an actual golden toilet. But bathrooms is a huge opportunity with events because everyone expects the same things as everyone else. So as we go through there, we just keep mapping and mapping and scripting and scripting, and you build off and you build off and build off. And so what I want to go quickly now is into the last impression, because often a good event, I've been to plenty of these, they have the event and then they're trying to sell for the other event the next year. And I get it. I understand why it's done. But is there a way, instead of finishing with trying to sell to next year, is there a way to finish with just such a finale, such a last impression that really wows them? And, you know, for us, we bring all of our cast, all of our characters out in the plaza as soon as the game ends, and we're making sure that we are thanking them. We're having fun. I appreciate you, D. We are definitely going bananas. We're a little bit crazy on everything we do, but that's how we do things. And so literally we have at the end of the game, everyone's signing autographs, everyone's dancing, everyone's having fun. We're thanking people. And it's a nice touch. You guys can do that too. But I realize we're still missing something. So what I started doing on tour was my wife and I would write a handwritten thank you letter that night of what happened during the night. Then we would scan it into our email system and we would send it out to the people that came to that game the next morning. A thank you from the owners. Just a genuine kind of authentic touch. But I was like, but that's not that fun. We got to do something better. So I was like, what can we do that's a little bit better? And I realized that what about after they leave the stadium? Could we do something maybe the next day, the day after? Now, what do we do? Maybe a week? Once people completely forgot about us, is there a way instead of trying to sell them or trying to keep in touch, we actually do something to bring back that memory of the event that they went to, the game that they went to? And so I started saying 1 week, 1 week, 1 week, 1 week. And I did an idea session, which I do every morning. I was like, 1 week, what can we do? And then all of a sudden it came to me, the song from the Bare Naked Ladies. It's been 1 week since you, that right there, that 1 week song. If any of you guys remember back in 1999, it was a banger on the Bare Naked Ladies album Stunt. Good reference. But yes, that 1 week song was big. And I said, what if we did our own? What if we wrote our own lyrics? We had, and we actually created a video of everything that they went to at that game and then sent it out to them so they could actually remember it. And we're not trying to sell them. We're just trying to bring back that fun memory. And so I got our team together. Ben, one of our videographers, could sing a little bit, and we said, all right, we write some new lyrics, and we script it and started writing. We said, we got it. And so I'm showing you the first one we ever did of this. This was this past spring. It was actually March. It was 35 degrees in Savannah that night. It was crazy. It was randomly cold. But this is the video from the 1 week that we send 1 week after the game to our fans that came.
Well, it's been 1 week since you saw us play. You watched players dancing in a funny way. 5 days since we saw you leave, and the banana band was playing Stand By Me. 3 days since you sang along at the top of your lungs to the songs in the sing-off. Yesterday, you were humming the tune of Hey Baby with your mom in the living room. Banana balls a little faster, you thinking after? What the heck did I just see? Was that a stilt or a kilt? You're so surprised you sort of spilt. It's not a problem because it's all that you can eat. Banana baby lifted like a Lion King. It's kind of our thing. It's the way we kick things off. Coach does a little break dance. You feel the room. When he's twirling to a love song, gonna make a break and make a play. They're shaking with them, but they gave you wait to see it. But you like the party animals. Gotta see the chokers and you'll know the status quo. We've gotta go and making changes, and I know you think it's radical. How can we help it if our team's name isn't food? Trying hard to be tough, but it's still cute. We're the type of team with a couple cheer squads. One is Nana's and the other one is Dad Bod's. Thank you for coming and partying. Is it cool if we say that you're a fan? It's been 1 week since you saw us play. It's been 1 week since you saw us play.
All right. That is our 1 week video. We're proud of that one, better than the first one we did. Thank you, Amanda. So that was something that if you have most events have videographers, you have people that can put these together. Something like that just really sets the tone and just makes it say like, you know what, this is fun and proud of that. And we do it after our weekend games. We put 2 weekends together, send it out to the fans and go from there. So one thing more on Entertain Always. What happens when something goes wrong? And in events, things go wrong all the time. And I always say it's like theater. Not all the attendees know, or the customers, or the fans know, but we know when something goes wrong. But what if they do know when something goes wrong? In baseball, the worst thing that can happen in games is what we call rain. And it rains a lot in Savannah, Georgia. So we started building, like, how do we entertain fans during rain? And so what me and the director of entertainment developed was a rain delay script. And we said, when it rains, this is where we go. Full entertainment. We do Pass the Monkey, Pass the Banana. We do sing-offs. We have the band playing here. We do a dance up on the field between the two teams. We have this full script. And then we had one team that their bus literally got a flat tire and they weren't going to be at the game until 9 o'clock. But the league told us we still had to play. This was 2 years ago. And I said, Zach, we need to develop a 3-hour rain delay script. And so we developed a 3-hour rain delay script. And 85% of the fans stayed till 9 o'clock when we started the game, which was shocking. And we had fans say it was the most fun I ever had to a game and they never threw a pitch. And so what would happen if something really went wrong? Technology, challenges. Do you have a script that you can go to? Because the way to create biggest fans sometimes is when things go wrong for someone and you wow them above. So we now have a rain delay script and we walk people to their cars when it's raining. We have all the players lined up. And I remember we had one intern and her name was Laura. Her name is still Laura, and she was with us just for 2 weeks. And I watched an older gentleman. She was walking the older gentleman, what I thought was to his car, but she was gone for like 40 minutes. And finally she came back, she's soaking wet. She had the umbrella over him. And I said, Laura, where were you? She goes, I walked that gentleman to his doorstep. I go, you walked him home? And she goes, yeah. She goes, he said he was just around the corner, but it was over a mile long. And I go, wow. And she goes, fans first, right? And she was with us for 2 weeks, but she understood fans first and the power of fans first. So how do you entertain always and have a script ready when things go wrong? And that's really how you can start creating raving fans. So I'm going to bang through these last few because I want to get into Q&A, but those two are, I believe, can really set the tone. That's what we spend so much time focusing on. So the third E to create raving fans, and how do you do this? And I'm sure I get the question often, how do you come up with ideas? Well, experiment constantly is how we do everything. And I'll tell you, one of the best lessons I learned is whatever's normal, do the exact opposite. And so everything we do is dramatically different. So like this, pull this out here. This is our Dolce and Banana underwear. So we literally have Dolce and Banana underwear that we sell a couple thousand a year of this, which makes no sense. Most teams sell t-shirts, they sell hats. We sell that too, but we sell underwear. What if at your event, instead of just throwing out the same things, you throw something out so different, so dramatic that gets people talking? Every night, every game, I'm throwing t-shirts in the crowd, but the last one, that grown man that's getting way too excited, you better believe he gets a pair of Dolce and Banana underwear and he puts it on proud and it creates a moment. And so whatever's normal, do the exact opposite. That Dolce and Banana was an experiment. Everything was an experiment. And so Jeff Bezos said, our success is a direct function of how many experiments we do per year, per month, per week, per day. I challenge most businesses aren't doing enough experiments, and especially from events. He said, this worked great last year. Let's do it again this year. What percentage of events or experiments are you doing? And so one of the biggest experiments, the first one we did, and if you watched obviously the opening videos and even the 1 week video, we like to dance a lot. And that was one experiment that led to a lot. And the first experiment I said, I was meeting with an HR company and they said, we just don't want to bring our people out. We don't like baseball. And I said, well, it's not baseball. It's a show. She's like, yeah, it sounds like baseball. I go, our players dance. And she goes, they dance? And at this point, our players never danced. And I just told her that they danced. And I said, okay. She goes, well, that's interesting. And so I had to bring a dance instructor to teach our players to dance. And our players, great ball players, just terrible dancers. But they learned the jump on it dance. And I got four guys who were willing to do it that first game. This was back with our first team. And they were dancing. And they did the jump on dance. And the fans loved it. They signed autographs. By the next night, they're the most popular players in the team. They're signing the most autographs. By the third night, I'm walking through the crowd. And I see a husband and wife. And they're talking. And the husband's talking to the wife. And she goes, shut up, honey. They're about to dance. And I was like, we're on to something. And that one player dance experiment then led to our breakdancing coach, who does the moonwalk while coaching, to then single ladies. That led to our Banana Nanas dancing team. That led to our twerking umpire, which Vincent is now a twerking dance umpire, which led to our players dancing during games, in the middle of the games. That one experiment led to so many. So how can we be open to trying these experiments? And what can we do with our team to build those? And so what we did and what we started was Ideapaloozas. We would get our team together and say, all right, what's one thing we can do at the end of the night that will make fans want to stay to the game longer? What's one idea we can do with our fans to get the entire stadium part of a show? What's one thing we can do here? And we come up with all these ideas and we share them. And so we built this idea culture, but always by asking a question. Most people say, hey, let's brainstorm some stuff. You got to have a very specific theme. And so we developed these idea theme buckets of what we want to do to create these ideas. And so now every night at our ballpark, we do between 10 to 15 things that we've never done before in front of a live crowd. And 9 to 13 of them don't go as planned, but we usually have one or two that works, whether it's the guy coming up to bat with the bat on fire, a pitcher in stilts doing a split when you're hitting. Some of those become gold that pay for all the other experiments that didn't work. And so many experiments didn't work. When we did events at our stadium, we did haunted stadiums, running of the bananas. We eliminated all those. And it's funny that I'm talking to you because we eliminated the majority of our events because we realized we could be the best at creating the greatest show in sports. That one event, that's where we wanted to focus on because, you know, the events we did, like I loved them. I thought Tap in the Morning Beer Festival, a beer festival starting at 9 a.m. was a great idea. But what I've learned is that because we said, you know, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. So we thought it was a great idea. But you know, unfortunately only 94 people showed up. So we ended that event. So my point is, how do you test more experiments? How do you try more things and go from there? So experiment constantly. We can dive into that more in the Q&A. The final two E's, which I want to just jam on quickly, is engage deeply. And Andy Stanley said it best, do for one what you wish you could do for many. And this is something not many people see from the bananas, but what we call is listen carefully, respond creatively. And I learned this from Darren Ross, the CEO of Magic Castle Hotel, who's one of the highest rated hotels in all of Hollywood. And it's an old 1950s yellow apartment building with no restaurant, no spa, no gym, no room service, but it's the number two rated hotel in all of Hollywood. And how is that? So I went there. I had to stay. I had to see what it was. And I showed up and wasn't wearing the yellow tuxedo. And they said, Mr. Cole, welcome. And here's a free drink. And I said, oh, it's amazing. And I walk in. They're like, here is our snack menu. We have free ice cream at 3 o'clock. Here's our DVD menu. I go, DVDs? I go, we have a DVD player in every room. And whenever you need your laundry done, we'll do all of your laundry. And I was like, wow, they are really focused. And then I walked by and I was going up to my room and I saw at the pool, there was a red phone and it said above it, Popsicle Hotline. I said, yep, I'm grabbing that. Grab the Popsicle Hotline and I answer it. And it's a Popsicle Hotline. Would you like orange, cherry, or grape? I go, orange. And so they brought out in a silver platter a minute later with an orange Popsicle. It's blown away. Get into my room. There is Cracker Jacks and bananas. They'd done their research on me. Kind of creepy, but they knew me. They knew I was this bananas guy that created a great experience. And I asked their CEO, how do they do that? And he said, oh, we just teach our people, listen carefully, respond creatively. We ask questions. So of our attendees, How often do we ask questions about things that matter to them? You can't do it for everyone, but if you know someone is a big fan of something or loves something, what about creating some of those special moments? So when they ask, what brings you to Hollywood? He gave me an example. Someone said, Marilyn Monroe. We're big fans of Marilyn Monroe. And they said, okay. It's great. You need to go to the Wax Museum. You need to check this out. And she's like, yeah. And so the receptionist went and grabbed a Marilyn Monroe poster, put it up in their room and wrote, thanks for coming to see me. Love, Marilyn. To me, that's the creepiest thing in the world. But the people that came, they were blown away. Listen carefully, respond creatively. So those are the things, like when we find out someone's having a baby, one of our fans, we send them a Bananas onesie and say, welcome to the Bananas family. You know, if we find out someone's having an anniversary, they put it on Instagram. We've actually had our team find them in the crowd, deliver roses to them, and actually have the whole crowd celebrate with them. And it's things like that, that if you can listen to what matters to your people, you can create these unbelievable, epic experiences. And as I said, get them to say, you wouldn't believe. And so there's emotional stories. I won't get into them now, but we've had a lot of moments where literally we found out that people had tragedies in their family and have tried to go to above and beyond and to create an experience to treat them like, you know, the most amazing you could treat someone that's going through something like that. And every year those moments happen when we're dealing with, you know, taking care of 500,000 fans, we learn of these experiences and to not think about your budget, to spend more. You know, we spend a good portion of our budget to create these moments because we realize it matters. And that's what we're trying to create. So engage deeply, do for one what you wish you could do for many. And I'll finish finally with empower action as the fifth E to creating these raving fans. And we can talk about, you know, everyone on this call, I know you are hungry. You're obsessed about creating great experiences. If you're part of this and you're listening and you're learning, you have that attention to detail. You want to do a great event, but it has to go down to your teams. But to have that first, you have to feel empowered to be able to push the envelope on what can be done. And I talked briefly about P.T. Barnum and Walt Disney. They are definitely huge role models for me. But my biggest hero by far is my dad. And my parents got divorced when I was a kid. I was an only child. And my mother had some serious challenges in her life. And my dad went all in on taking care of me. And he loves telling the story about when I first played baseball, the first time in T-ball, that I walked up to the plate and I was nervous out of my mind. I was slowly walking up and my dad yelled, Jess, swing hard in case you hit it. And everyone laughed in the crowd. And every time I came up to bat, he would say, swing hard in case you hit it. And I've been swinging hard since day one and trying to create that amazing experience. And I've swung and missed with so many times. I've swung and missed over and over again, but the hits have really taken care of themselves. And I've had a lot of fortune to have some hits because I've had that mindset of swinging hard in case you hit it. And when you look at baseball stats, which I never pay attention to, Pete Rose has more hits than anyone that ever played the game. He has 4,000 hits, but he had 14,000 at bats. He came out to bat 2,000 times more than anyone else that ever played the game. So of course he had more hits. And then the person who failed the most, who struck out more than anyone else in the world that ever played baseball, no one even knows that he struck out more than anyone else because they don't know him for his failures. They don't know him for his strikeouts. They know him for his 3 home runs in game 6, the 1977 World Series. They know him as Mr. October. He's a Hall of Famer and it's Reggie Jackson. And so my point is we don't remember the failures. No one remembers Amazon Fire Phone. It was a $170 million failure, but the technology helped build Amazon Alexa. So how do we come up to bat and empower ourselves? And I'll share one quick story about a person on our team that really, you'd say we empowered him, but he empowered us more than anything. And his name's Reggie, a special gentleman for us with a mental disability that worked hard to get a job with us. And he called every week trying to say, I want to work for us. And this was before we even had a team. So we weren't even hiring at that point, but he called every week and he showed up to the job fair with a big smile. We gave him the job. He worked in concessions and maintenance. He did everything at the ballpark. And every day Reggie would walk around with a big smile and say, it's a great day for a ball game. It's a great day for a ball game. And he was an energy giver. Finally, a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, he said, hey, Jesse, just want to let you know my birthday is on a game day. I go, oh, Reggie, that's great. He goes, oh, yeah, just want to let you know. He proceeds to tell everybody on the staff that his birthday was on a game day. And finally, that birthday, that game day shows up. We're having a pep rally, and we start singing happy birthday to him. And he goes, for me? Of course, Reggie, it's for you. You told everybody on our entire staff. So we gave him balloons, and we gave him a cake, and we sang, and we had some. I said, Reggie, one more thing. And this is one of the best things I learned from Steve Jobs. Always have one more thing, especially when it comes to events you're doing. Have one more thing. I said, Reggie, come down to the dugout right before the game. He goes, okay, I'll be there. Whatever you need, whatever you need. Goes down to the dugout. We start doing the starting lineup. Everyone's standing, 4,000 fans, the band's on the dugout. People are going crazy. Batting first from Clemson, batting second from University of Georgia. And then we said, last but not least, you know him, you love him. Let's hear it for Reggie. He throws his arms like this. He runs through, high-fiving everybody. When he gets to the end of the line, our coach is waiting for him with a jersey with his name on it. Gave Reggie the jersey, put it on, stood there with the team for the national anthem. You can see a tear coming right down his face. Reggie said it was one of the best days of his life. It was simply recognizing him and acknowledging him. After that game, a few weeks later, the player said, we'd like Reggie to be a coach next year. I go, a coach? They go, yeah, he just brings so much energy. We want him around the team. And I said, wow, you think he can do it? And he said, yeah, we think he'd be great. So he also, you know, loves making the Reginade. I go, what is Reginade? Reggie goes, it's my secret recipe. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, I can't tell you. But if you don't tell anybody, it's water, Gatorade mix, and ice. I go, sounds great, Reggie. So he starts making Reginade for the guys, and he starts giving pep talks to the players. And I walked in on one pep talk. He's talking to the hitters. He goes, guys, whatever you do tonight, don't swing at anything unnecessary. Good advice, Reggie. That's good advice. We won the championship in his first year as a coach with the team. And they rushed the field. They handed the trophy to Reggie. And he got there at home plate, and he lifted up the trophy. And the players and the fans were all chanting, Reggie. Reggie, Reggie. It's a moment I'll never forget. Reggie coached again this past year. We won another championship. Now Reggie travels all over the country with us, and he's a big part of our team. He empowered us because we were open to giving him a chance to do something a little bit different. So I challenge you and your team, and your attendees, anybody that you're working with, how can you empower them to think a little differently, to do something they haven't done before? To experiment, to eliminate friction, to entertain in different ways. And you'll have these unbelievable, rewarding moments. You'll create these you wouldn't believe moments. And for me, you know, it's easy. You're a crazy guy in a yellow tuxedo. This comes easy. Well, sometimes it's simple as that recognition that we gave to Reggie. Sometimes it comes simple as a thank you. In 2016, I started the thank you experiment, started writing a thank you letter every day to teachers, to coaches, to entrepreneurs, to anybody that made an impact on my life. And it brought this level of gratitude that truly was almost selfish. And now today, our team, you'll see around 2 or 3 o'clock, our team is out there with their phones like this, and they're literally just doing thank you videos. So maybe today, after this, maybe it's a letter, but maybe it is just using your phone. Instead of sending a text to someone on your team, maybe some attendee or client or someone that's been a part of what you've done for so long, and just thank them. Say, I'm thinking about you. That little step will create a fan faster than anything else. And so today, you know, again, we'll get into hopefully a couple minutes of questions, but I challenge us to, again, eliminate friction, entertain always, experiment constantly, engage deeply, and empower action. And you wouldn't believe the results that can come from that. And as the brilliant philosopher, Will Ferrell said, keep throwing darts at the dartboard, you'll eventually hit the bullseye. So I hope that we can throw some more darts, take some more chances, and go and create fans. Thank you, guys.
My gosh, you can't end with those kinds of stories. And then I'm all teary over here. I see other people are saying, I'm not crying, you're crying. What an amazing session. So much content. I wish we could go on for hours and hours, but I know obviously we can't. First of all, thank you. Thank you for sharing all of these lessons and inspiration. I think a lot of people in the events industry want to reinvent. They want to do things differently. And sometimes they feel stuck. So just having some ideas, seeing all the work that you've done, I think is inspiring to them. Do you have a few minutes for questions?
Yes. I can go. I can go a little long. I went a little long, so I'll definitely give you my time, guys. What do you need?
I have a billion questions, but I do want to prioritize our audience, whoever is watching. So if you guys have questions, pop them in. We'll try to get to as many as we can. One question I saw was, and I'm not going to put this on the screen only because it'll cover our faces. But as you move towards more of the Harlem Globetrotters model, and just to clarify, you guys are doing Banana Bowl now across the country. How important is it to continue to ideate versus kind of like templatizing everything? I think a lot of people, and this person, I think it's Liz who is saying also, it's a trap that event people kind of get into, is like, let's just do the same thing over and over and over again because it works. And, you know, you're moving around a lot. How are you guys going to keep this innovation as you expand?
It's a great question. It's the thing that keeps me up at night. I think about that every single day. And to be honest with you, I understand where the comparisons to the Globetrotters are, because obviously we're putting on a show more fun, but we don't want to be the Globetrotters. The Globetrotters changed the game of basketball in the 40s and 50s. They had 75,000 people see them in Berlin. They sold out Madison Square Garden twice. The NBA booked them to book tickets. They were everything. And then they started doing the same show. Here comes the confetti. Here comes the thing, over and over again, where their relevance is not nearly what it was in the 40s and 50s and 60s. So for us, we're experimenting constantly. We're about to announce some really unique things coming this year that are everything we do is a test. So we have major league stadiums coming up. We're going to test playing in places you never imagined playing. We're going to test adding the stakes, and we'll announce this in a later point, but don't share it, but it'll be a world showdown, kind of like our WrestleMania, our World Series. We're going to have a lot of those things that we test, but it comes down to bringing on idea people. Mr. Beast is probably the best person that we can learn from. As crazy as he's a 23-year-old on YouTube, but he has a team of people that are pumping information and ideas into him. So he has so many ideas that he can push the needle on what's next. For 10 years, he's been going bigger and bigger and bigger, and he's the biggest YouTuber of our time or of ever, and he will continue to be. So that's where you need. You need people and ideas. You need to keep pushing, and it's a challenge, but don't be afraid to upset people on the way. Everyone got upset when we left the league. Everyone got upset when he named the team the Bananas. If you're not getting criticized, you're playing it too safe. In the reality, focus on your future fans, not just your current fans right now. Where are you going? Who are your future fans you're targeting? And that can help your decisions.
So important. And this is related to that. How do you decide, Amanda wants to know, if an experiment is a success?
Fan
what
reactions.
Works and so, what doesn't?
Yeah, so we have an SNL schedule. So on Mondays, we do OTT meetings. That's over the top ideas. This is exactly like how SNL creates. Then Tuesday, we start writing. Wednesday, we start writing. Thursday, we start creating whatever the props and sets. And then Fridays, we actually do a session of these ideas in front of our VIP fans at 4:45. And I don't watch what's going on in the field. I watch the fans' reaction. So if the fans are videotaping, even on that march that was a slower march for us, you could see the fans with their cameras up. That shows you that it's shareworthy and it's remarkable. So for us, I'm trying to say, do our fans love it? Will they share it? Do they love it? Those are the type of things that we look at.
Love it. I'm trying to read through all these comments and not miss too much, hopefully. Phil wants to know, what is something you wish event organizers would change immediately?
Ah, good question, Phil. You would throw a good one there. I think the biggest challenge that events, especially in-person events, is that just things go too long, that they extend. And I'm constantly thinking about what are the moments that people love the most? And is it the interaction? Is it the parties? I mean, how can we reimagine what a party looks like with some actual education? Does it always have to be you sit down and watch a speaker or watch a panel? Panels are very tough. That's something I'm frustrated by, because panels are such low energy that even if you have smart people on a panel, it's hard to bring the energy up because they're just kind of going with the flow. So yes, I look at how could you make the best parts of an event that people look forward to? How could you actually make that, enhance that a different way?
Okay. And last question, I want to slide one of my own in there because I know we want to respect your time. We can't drag this on too long. One thing I know event organizers are always talking about, and it's come up a little bit in the chat, it always comes up, is budgets. It came up in our earlier session today. Yep. Or just in general, you talked about like being at rock bottom at one point, you and your wife having to sell your home. And then it was in that same kind of sentence that you were talking about, yeah, prioritizing fans over profit and revenue. Yeah. And I'm curious what your advice is for people who want to innovate and their first thought is, but there's no budget. And so they just give up. Yeah. How do you do it?
Outthink, don't outspend. Most people don't spend enough time thinking about what would make this the greatest event possible. I can't believe I'm about to reference Mr. Beast twice in this conversation. If you don't know who he is, look him up. But he said the only thing he focuses on is creating the greatest video possible. Everything he does is focus on the greatest video possible. So for us, like if I'm thinking about events, I'm literally just thinking about start smaller to create bigger. So what I mean by this is our first year, not many people know this, we had 28 games on our schedule. We turned 6 into doubleheaders. So we only had 22. So we could create even more excitement and more demand. We go to a smaller venue before we go to a major league stadium. We got a lot of criticism for not going to major league stadiums this year. We are trying to sell 10, 15,000 and create the demand. So maybe if you don't have a huge budget, don't try to create a 4,000, 2,000. Maybe create the best 100-person event you can and do it right and do it and then expand once you have demand. Hey, we have a wait list now for our event. Then you can spend more because you built that wait list.
So smart. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of these insights. I know I have to go back and take a billion more notes. So thank you so much for sharing all of this insight. Great.
It was a lot of fun. And I appreciate, I know I didn't get to connect with all you guys today, but I appreciate everything you're doing in the event business. And I love the way you guys think. And thank you guys for having me.
Thanks.